Hey everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And we have so much to cover, from Squamish to across Canada, then down to Los Angeles and far beyond. This is a very quick 30 minutes. It is.
Fine.
George, you're broken.
And for those listening, I have a broken wrist, big cast on my hand.
Like a monster cast. That's the last thing you want to have on in
I
June.
know it's a bit warm. Yes, I was being a Vancouverite. I was, doing a walk. It's not very glamorous, but I will say, so I did a walk. It was beautiful the weekend. Walked to Wreck Beach and up to UBC, and that was the plan. And then I just kind of slipped on this giant flat rock that I thought was sand, fly up in the air, slow myself down with my wrist. And a little, it didn't hurt. I mean, it hurt a little bit, but by the time I got to UBC, I was like, oh, this is something. So I went to UBC Hospital, and which was amazing. No lineup, kind of went right in there. Took a few hours, but after multiple tests, I will say this is a test. This is a r argument for my one of my first motions made in 2012, which was to build a seawall along Kits and Point Grey.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful walk, though. This is.
I've slipped on those big rocks because they do look like they're a sandbar.
Yeah.
And instead they're like little short seaweed covered, shiny flat rocks. But I'm
Yeah.
glad you're okay. Oh, you
Yeah.
don't need surgery or anything. You're
Oh, it's just annoying. I've never broken anything, and I never sprained any of my wrists. And having one hand is definitely a really, you can't, can't
And
do
you're
much.
right-handed, right?
Yeah, luckily I'm right-handed, so this is my left hand.
Okay, okay,
So
okay. It could
but
be
doing,
worse.
but like opening jars, doing up your zipper.
Yeah.
I can't put a coat on. It's,
Right.
it's mostly just annoying. So we'll see.
Speaking of annoying, no.
Nice.
We're gonna do some work here, taking the spin out of some of the stories. That's what we do every week here on Unspun Podcast. But we're all over the place today, but first and foremost, staying local to start, because Lord knows we could talk about international politics and upheaval and chaos for hours. But what's happening in Squamish right now? There are 250 homes that are on standby for evacuation. Everybody's got their fingers crossed right now for some rain that's expected over the next few days, but it doesn't look like it's the kind of rain that's going to really make a ma massive difference. This the Sea to Sky wildfire, very hard to fight because it's on a ridge. And anybody who knows anything about Squamish, it's famous for the winds that come in the afternoon. That's why people go up in Squamish
Parasailing and
and they
stuff.
parasail. Oh my
Yeah.
God, George. So, but the taking the spin out of it, they have great reason to believe that somebody purposely lit this fire.
That was like the one in Saskatchewan too, same thing. I know, that is crazy.
I don't.
Crazy. And yesterday was a bit hazy. Was that because of that, you think? Because it was sunny, but it was hazy, and that was the smoke. I don't want another smoke-filled summer, please. I got relatives coming, I got
Yeah.
they're always here when it's smoky. It's like they've never seen a blue sky in Vancouver, I don't think.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, isn't it? I mean, it's more than kind of. It's very sad.
Yeah, that's
It
brutal.
is.
Hopefully they can get it under control.
So Squamish wildfires, just want to send our props out to the people who are battling that wildfire, those are in harm's way. I mean, we talked about it last week. There's some PTSD for everybody
Oh,
now
yeah.
when it comes to these wildfires. Because you look at that and you're thinking, that's not far up the street from Whistler. That's not far up the street from West Vancouver, North Vancouver. We are dry, right?
Yeah.
And June's supposed to be raining the whole month. It's supposed to be the rainiest month of the year here, and it hasn't been. So let's move on to some City Hall things. I did notice Kit's pool has water in it. It's not open.
I
Has
noticed
water
that
in
when I
it,
was
but
walking by it on my way to my
before you broke
injury.
your arm,
Yes.
right?
Yeah. So, it's coming. It's coming along.
Okay, maybe by September.
Just for closing.
Big movement on the mega towers at Commercial Broadway, right where the transit station hub is there. 44-story buildings, one of the
Rental.
tallest, rental, 10% market, or sorry, 10% below market. So 90%.
Market.
So can you talk a little bit about your thoughts on this development.
Yeah, well, it's the never-ending development. It's obviously it's a bl blank slate as a site. We approved a project when I was there in 2017 or 16, maybe, and that project was accepted by the community. It had a tower on it, but the design was quite different. Lots of open space and communal space. I think it was still about, it's about, I think it was 30 stories, but tiered. And so then another council came in and they, whatever they did, and then the province with its new regulations, and then this council. I can't help but think this is political. If you look at the voting trends of parties who are center or right of center, the voting base in the Commercial Drive area is pretty much zero for them. So it has an impact politically, for ABC and those politicians that supported it. Very little concern, I'd say, unless it bleeds into the rest of the city. But they could argue, well, we turned down the Arbutus one. We stopped that one. So you can't say, and there you can see their spin already is talking about, hey, this is a SkyTrain station. It's a busy SkyTrain station. It has multiple routes on it, going to Broadway, going to downtown, going to to Coquitlam, to New West, so it's a real hub of location, and so it makes sense to have higher density there. That's their argument, but it does stick out like a sore thumb, that's for sure.
No question. And I've said this numerous times that I've come around on the need for building up to some degree, because as you've pointed out, it doesn't cost anything more other than materials to build up. But to build up to to this level, in this area, I mean, Commercial Broadway, I don't know when the last time you were there. I've spent quite a bit of time in that exact spot, because of my RMT is over there. So I've spent some significant time. Of course, I meet people on Commercial Broad or Commercial Drive to go for a bite to eat and, enjoy the Italian days. We're doing the things on Commercial Drive. That is going north on Commercial, which is, it's a really special spot in the city. It is a community in the city. And to like plunk this big tower there, I don't know, it feels like the people making the decisions haven't been there. Because there's a whole area at Commercial and Broadway that needs revitalizing. Like there are many buildings, low-rise buildings that could easily be, 5 or 6 stories. Like there could be more opportunity to create broader, more gentle density that could deliver similar stocks, rental stocks. But it just to like plunk a massive blade of what we see downtown Vancouver. And I get it. There's a look that developers and the city have decided to go with downtown Vancouver. I get it. I'm looking at the towers. I'm like, they're pretty. I have no desire to go in any of them. I no desire to live in a tower like that for me. So when I look at that, but when I look at the gentle density being built elsewhere around the city, I'm actually really engaged. Like that looks good. Driving up Granville Street, that looks good. Driving down Oak Street, that looks good. There's spots on Cambie. They've done it well. I understand the mega project at Oak Ridge, but even then, it's not one big tower, right? It's like it's a community that that seems to make sense, that has business development and a shopping center and places for people to live, that's like got the green space, as you were mentioning. Like there's more to it. This one, I looked a little bit deeper into what was being proposed, what was being approved, and I thought, lazy. This looks lazy, right?
Well, and this rental angle, I have always argued, is a cop out. The mix, the way we used to have to create de rental developments in Vancouver was through strata development, and then they would be cheaper strata. I live in one of them where 90% of the units are rented by individual owners. And the argument was, well, this is not protected rental. And I'm like, well, just because it's owned by one guy and these 300 units are owned by one person doesn't make it any more protected. And in fact, most of the projects that are, rental developments have the opportunity, if they go through a public hearing, to convert them back into strata. So it's a misguided and I believe total spin on, to stay with the theme of the show, a way to get in density and put up buildings that don't always fit into the community. And the development that we had proposed there back there was, was really quite beautiful, and it was, you know, and it's unfortunate. And you can, you know, you're right. You look at, and we all talk about like places like Barcelona, where it's, you know, millions of
Yes,
people, and there's
Madrid.
no nothing more over
Yeah.
six stories. You know, it's, you can't get
Beautiful.
density to,
Paris.
yeah. So why not design? Why does Commercial Drive, which is unique in its way, I lived there for a long time, has
Yeah.
a unique culture there, and so
And
some of that should be thought about.
a low neighborhood culture, right? Like it's got
Well,
this vibe. There aren't a lot
go down to
of,
Clark. There's lots of places to put on Clark. You could put, nobody would complain if you went down to Clark.
you
Nobody.
know
It's
what,
just this,
George?
you know.
That is brilliant. You're right. Jesus, again, you got me. We gotta have like a George's right counter on this podcast. But
And
you're
also
right.
just
It's
and if they're obsessed with the SkyTrain stations, hello, 22nd and Nanaimo.
right there.
Single family homes after
Yeah.
40 years, and there's not one tower there. It's
Not
like,
one.
what are you doing? Like, that's, and it's the top beautiful location for, like, the views are amazing, and there's not one dense development within, you know, a 10, 5 block radius of there. What's going on? Why not? Why don't we focus? Do you think anybody would, how many people would complain if there was a higher density at Nanaimo and 22nd? I don't think so. I think most of those single family homeowners would be, well, I'll probably get
They would do land
attached to it.
assembly. They'd be like,
Yes.
here you go. We're going to assemble
Exactly.
this. They're just waiting for somebody to come and buy them out.
Yet we don't do
That's
anything.
the thing.
And
That's
Joy
the thing.
Station is also, that's
Joy
been
Station is another
effective.
one,
It's, we've been
for
doing that
sure.
density there, and it's happening,
Yeah.
and nobody, there's
Yeah.
no pushback. No pushback. So
I
I don't know. It,
I agree with the people who are in the community. Yeah, to remove the spin from this story. As a born and raised Vancouverite, my dad was the head of the PE department at a school that's, you know, down the road on Commercial Drive, basically, at Britannia. Spent a lot of
yeah.
time in that neighborhood, and there is good reason to not want all of a sudden to have shoehorned in this massive construction, this massive build of 44 stories. So I think there was a better way to do it, but I think there's a tone deafness when it comes to City Hall.
Yes, and we actually, we did a pre-discussion. We didn't talk about Karim running for mayor. Announcing the former city, former campaign manager for Ken Sim, because he sees this, and he's been attacking Ken, and there's a lawsuit against him for slander or libel or whatever it is, and you know, you keep adding to the mix of people, reasons why not to vote for ABC and Ken Sim. I would argue this is another one for them to, for whoever runs against Ken Sim. Now, I'm not sure where Karim stands on this political spectrum, because he was a campaign manager and joined the NDP in the last provincial election.
Right.
He was Kevin Falcon's campaign manager. He was, so okay, and then he was Ken Sim's campaign manager. So where does he, and yet he's talking about budget constraints and, you know, being fiscally prudent and all this stuff. And I'm like, but also, you know, being, you know, careful about developments like this and blah blah blah, blah. It's like, okay,
Yeah,
yeah
it's,
yeah
well, it's hard to peg, right? And I kind of like that because it's like party lines. I'm, as you well know, a mushy middle, rainbows and unicorns, wishful thinking person who just wants our elected officials to do the work that we ask of them. Please do the things that we ask of you first, right? Like the park board is always under my skin because our parks are shit. Like, fix the parks before you do anything else. Fix the parks. And with City Hall, like some of the agenda bullshit, we spend so much time wasted time talking through that never comes to really anything, but everybody wants to get their shots in. They got to have their moment or whatever. And they're not fixing what's actually in desperate need of attention.
To back to my walk that did, so you cut, you come
Yeah.
up, and we've talked about Jericho, but I actually didn't know that Jericho, the very, very last park, if for those of you who know Vancouver, before you head up to UBC, that's
Yeah.
actually that one park, which has a divided bike lane and pedestrian, is the only part once you leave, basically, like point, like there's a point where you lose come back to a seawall. But it's gravel, but it's mixed. You don't know which side to walk on, and then you eventually
Yes.
get back to another part that, hey, it's back. The division is there. Bikes, people. That's actually Metro Vancouver's park. It's not
It
Vancouver's
goes
park.
Jericho and then
There's that little
Spanish Bank.
section, and that
Yeah,
little
that
section
little
is
di
actually
totally.
Metro
I'm ringing
Vancouver.
my bell. Ring, 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 ring,
Yeah.
ding,
So it's
ding, ding.
chaos and
Yeah, chaos.
unfinished and junky,
Yeah.
And
And
you're kind of
dusty.
like, do I go left, right here? And you got the, it's just, and then at
Right
the,
by the galley there, right by the
yeah,
Jericho
you get to
Sailing
the,
Center.
and the yacht
Yeah. And
club
then
there.
it
But like,
splits and
yeah,
you're like,
it's just like, that's all park board. Good job.
God. Good job. Oh, it's from park board to ferries.
Fast ferries 2.0. NDP
It's
really
gonna,
know how
these
to
ferries are
adapt.
gonna carry 50% more people and 30% more cars, I think.
I,
And they're gonna
it,
be.
no argument that we need a better, more ferries. I think if anybody takes a ferry, but why does the NDP seem to screw this up every time? First they wanted to build their own ferries here. They screwed that up, the fast ferry program that basically ruined them, and now they've decided to buy ferries from China at the most vulnerable pro-Canadian time in the history of Canada. They decide, not that right now, imagine it would be worse if it was American ferries, but
Oh no, we're gonna
you
buy
know.
our planes from America.
Oh yeah, that
That's a whole different.
yeah, we're you know, that's a whole other issue. But I think tone deaf. Just go another couple of years without your ferries. Well, why would you negotiate that now?
Right in this moment, I don't know. I don't know what's this moment going to be like as we're staring down the G7 in Kananaskis, right? You see people posting all over social media about how they don't want to allow Donald Trump into the country because he's a convicted felon. It's like, okay,
True. I mean,
it is true, but
it's a
calm
good
down.
argument.
He's
I know, he's the
coming.
president.
He's
I
coming.
know. And there's and looking at all the reports from the last time it was in Canada, which would and Trump was president and he was negotiating all this stuff, and everybody was just kowtowing to him. It's like, he would go, is this what it's gonna be like again? Or are they gonna hold firm? What's gonna happen? I just feel
What
like
do you like? What do you like or don't like about Prime Minister Carney's move to include India at the G7?
well, they're one of the biggest economies in the world, and that's what this is supposed to be about. It used to be G8 when Russia was in it, and now it's the G7. But India, certainly the relation, it is challenging because I thought we were having a bit of an issue with India. I couldn't. I was supposed to go to India last year and couldn't because of we were had they wouldn't let us. So,
That was a different prime minister.
no, same guy, same guy.
No, Justin Trudeau.
Oh, a different prime minister here.
Yes.
So I don't know. I mean, it's like it's a
I'm not
whole
saying
different
it's right or
world.
wrong. I find it very interesting. I know that there's a very large Sikh community who does not appreciate the invitation. And I think it'll be fascinating. But I, to your original point, I think it is about trade. I think it is about economic growth and building in a time where there's such uncertainty. There are massive trade partners in this world that are China and India, the EU, and Canada's trying to play with those massive trade partners where we used to be like in lockstep with the US and being able to sort of just be like, we're all together over here. What are we all doing? And now we have to be like, oh, we're Canada. You know, we have to create
Well, we have to
those
bring
partnerships
India
and those
to,
avenues.
we don't want India to sway over to China. We
Exactly.
need to embrace that whole, Southeast Asia world to keep our economy going.
Market,
If we can't rely on
100%.
America, we gotta rely on Asia. And that could, that includes China. I was looking at a story about their electric cars. They're getting down to like $3,000 you can buy an electric car in China for now. Like,
Those
and
are
like we're
those are
not
the
allowed
cars
to.
that were blocked here.
Yeah, we're not allowed to import them. Like, if you want to really change the environment, Canada, and we don't
That's
want
one of the
American
things.
cars anymore, well, let's let some Chinese electric cars in for $3,000.
Get everybody just okay. So that's an interesting piece of, for those who don't know, I'm going to China for the World Games, right? I'm hosting a show like I did for Invictus Games for the same group that does international sports broadcast, ISB. They do big events and sporting events all across the world. They've invited me to come to China, to Chengdu, to host a similar show as I did for Invictus. And at first I was like, oh my God, I'm going to China. So then I'm like doing all my research about China. And we are literally getting our lunch eaten by China when it comes to the shift from greenhouse gas emissions, oil and gas, over to net zero, 100% into renewables. Like, it's wild. Like
I was watching
what
this
we've
guy. Yeah.
tradition yeah what
Oh,
we've
yeah.
traditionally thought of when we think China is now completely over here. It's high speed trains and solar and
The
wind
solar, I
and
saw a thing about their solar farms. That this guy did a, he did a, through satellite, he showed, he's a nerd about electricity that I follow. And he showed this satellite farm and wind farm in the middle of the desert in China, which they have in East China. And that, not only was he showed that, he showed how big it was. He showed the stations where they push electricity and how they those things are massive, and that they're able to push electricity in a further distance from the middle of nowhere. I mean, we have in Canada, wind, solar, water, oil, gas,
All of it. All of it.
natural gas, and yet we're just sitting here still kind of. And I think that's Carney's intention. I think that's where he's going in the announcement of his new. The new head of the bureaucracy, stealing her from Hydro-Quebec. He is mo moving hardcore. And that guy was a change agent. So I think he's moving hard into, we got to get going here. And I
Yeah,
agree.
we do.
This
But and
whole mamby-pamby bullshit that we've been dealing with for so many years that, we're going to change everything by
Nambi,
building a bike lane.
namby-pamby.
That's nice, but that's not going to change
No,
the world.
not going to change the world. Yeah, we need fewer promises, more actions. And especially, I mean, that's looking at the environment that was forced upon us as a country from the new administration in the United States, or the return of the Trump administration to the White House, and the threat of tariffs and the trade wars, and it's not just Canada, it's across the board. Nobody knows which way the wind blows with this guy, but it was just kind of announced, and Xi Jinping's people are like, it's not quite announced. We have a framework, so calm down. But they were like, we've got an agreement. But George, just to take the spin out of the new trade agreement that the US struck with China, it is
It's the same.
same thing.
It's the same. They got
It's
the
the
same deal
same
that they
thing.
did in I think it was in Switzerland or somewhere, wherever it was, they negotiated the same deal. You can look at the deal. It's like basically status quo for now. Same deal, but they're spinning it as something new, but it's not. And so you're saying that you think that we'll get the basically the free trade agreement again than we have right now?
Well, another news story that moved was that Canada and the US are now very close to a framework for a new NAFTA, CUSMA, USMCA. What are we going to call this one? I don't know.
Tocofina.
Tacofina. I love that craziness. I mean, it's just nonstop. And now we're drinking from the fire hose news cycle of I think what could be called a politically created chaotic situation in a small corner of a massive city of Los Angeles, one that I lived in. And so I'm watching it with a very keen eye, knowing exactly where these basically hands full of people when it comes to the size of LA, but the 4,000 National Guard and 700 Marines and being called in, and the governor's like, stop. And the mayor's like, please, like, what are you doing? It's costing hundreds of millions of dollars to activate the National Guard against citizens of the United States. It's a moment in time. I don't even know how to process it.
It's simultaneously the parade happening in Washington, D.C. on Saturday. There's
That's
military parade.
134 billion. That's billions of dollars.
Well, and then they're trying to get seat fillers I saw on Craigslist. Yeah,
Seat
they'll pay them
fillers.
$100 bitcoins or something if you show up, or something, or 1,000 bitcoins, or not, or probably Trump coins, because it's actually this thing is all being produced by armed. What was this thing? Fightfightfight.org
I
or
heard that
something.
they were bringing in 1,500 uniforms, because it's the 250 celebration of the armed
Right.
forces in America, right? So they're bringing in 1,500 uniforms that sort of mark the passage of time, and they're hiring actors to wear the uniforms to be in the stands and milling about. I
Yeah.
mean, when you have to hire people
Seat
for
fillers and
your parade,
actors. Yeah. But he'll get away with it. It'll look
oh, of
great.
course he
And
will.
all the TV stations will broadcast it. And we'll probably tune in briefly. But simultaneously, there's this other counter event happening. What's it called?
It's called No Kings day,
No king's yet.
Saturday,
King's
no
apostrophe
kings.
S.
Yeah,
Apostrophe S? Yeah. Or is it
no,
no king?
no
No
kings.
king.
Well, no kings,
No kings.
which is interesting for Canadians because we actually have a king. But the idea being
Nice.
there's no kings in the United States. That's the whole point of the Constitution, right?
Yes.
The Constitution of the United States was written because the people had decided that they wanted no kings. And what the administration is trying to allegedly do is implement Project 2025, which they denied that they wanted to do, but now all of that is coming together. Is
On
to
schedule.
create an authoritarian state where all of the power is consolidated into one small group of men, and in particular one. It's quite something. It's quite something. And we've sort of seen a quieting of the Elon Musk, Donald Trump.
Well, he apologized, I noticed this week, but I'm like, okay, do I have to block you again? Because now my
Did
feed
he
is full.
apologize? What did he say? I missed
Yes,
that.
well, and Bannon said it wasn't really an apology, but he said, I regret what I said last week. It was over the top or something like that. So kind of an apology. And now my feed is full of Elon Musk because I unblocked him. It's like, ugh. So like, who's doing all this content for you? Because most of it's just annoying. It's like
That's wild.
bogus.
But the No Kings Day idea, or what was floated a long time ago, is a grassroots US stand wherever you are, stand in front of your state or federal buildings, and peacefully create awareness of your want to stand with the Constitution.
Okay.
And, you know, the real peace being peace, the real part of it being a peaceful gathering. Because when you're lighting cars on fire, you're not helping anybody. When you're
No.
looting the 7-Eleven, you're not helping
No,
anybody.
what is this, a hockey game?
I know, right? Isn't that interesting? Was that on Stephen Colbert? It was one of the late night shows where they showed, or it was Jimmy Kimmel. One was when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and one was LA. It was Jimmy, because Jimmy's in LA going, let me tell you how I'm in LA right now, and it's not mayhem. It's like we're fine. It's a couple of people over there. And the first night of the riots, I was watching the news, the live shots of the news, and I could see the same woman wearing a beige sweater in every angle that they showed. And there was maybe like 20 people in front of a building with like riot police coming in. And I
Oops.
thought, what is
Okay.
happening?
It's
Okay. This seems
performative.
weird.
It's performative.
It felt like that. But I mean, Heather Cox Richardson, I don't know if anybody listens to or reads Heather Cox Richardson's Substack. This woman is an historian, and she is doing a daily Substack that sort of just marks what this day in history entailed, because there's so much trying to keep up with it. But she gives historic context to it, and she's nonpartisan. I think she's a libertarian, if I had to guess. But she's very, very, very nerdy, learned woman. And she writes her Substack daily, and then the next day, that same Substack is released in read form. So she reads it. It's about 12 to 14 minutes long. I've been listening to it daily now for about, I'm going to say, 2 months, and it's so informative. And it's also quite calming, because when you think about sort of the ebb and flow of history, we have not experienced this in our generation, but this is not new. It's
No,
not new.
no.
It's
We
not.
are a lucky generation. We Xers, because we lived to the pre besides the Cold War and that kind of stuff, which seemed, and we thought we were gonna get blown up by a nuclear device, but there was no fear of being recruited to go to fight in a battle in my life, and now that's the kind of thing I think about with my boys. This could possibly get to that. And that's scary.
That is scary.
I have my daughter, but she's in England, so she's fine over there. Stay there.
Stay there. Yeah, just taking care of each other and doing small acts of kindness to the people in your community. That's a big place to be rooted if you're getting freaked out by all this. And one thing that Heather Cox Richardson says about if you're feeling helpless and you want to do something, pick something that you really care about and do something associated with that. Like, literally, for me, it could be get everybody access to kids' pool. Like, it doesn't need to be,
No.
I'm going to do something that affects, you have to do something that you believe
Yes.
is right.
If every person did that, you get a lot of stuff done.
I'm gonna keep fighting to get into that pool, man. I'm gonna keep fighting to get into
Oh,
that pool.
yeah. There's a lot of people like you, and they would love it if you were to, do
Demand that it
that.
open. You can follow along with us on Unspun Podcast on Twitter. You can get George.
Undercast.
No.
Underscore.
George underscore
Underscore.
Affleck on Twitter. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y, at Jody Vance. You can find us on all of our social media platforms. You can listen, of course, on anywhere you get podcasts, but tell your friends, Unspun Podcast, 30 minutes, and we'll talk about the things that land on our kitchen table here in the south coast of BC, but we talk about things from all around the planet. But it's always a good chat, and I can't believe it. I told George that he was right again. I gotta go.
Bye.
Bye.